Monitor 67 on Saturday, March 4th. I'm Gene Rayburn, and I ask you to listen closely to this next voice.
All of a sudden, you look up and hear the scum of the earth, something that's crawled out from under a rock, and he's talking to you and looking down at you as if you are lower than he.
Who is this man, and what brought him to this degraded state? He's an extremely talented and popular entertainer, and he'll reveal how he came back from the lower depths 3 minutes from now on Monitor. Also to be heard in this half hour, Joe Garagiola, national weather, and lots of the latest music.
All the words I can recall could never capture all the loveliness of you.
Monitor, James Darren.
When you've got a job to do, reach for something good to chew. Chewing helps you stand the pace anytime and any place. So, hi-ho, hey-hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Work goes faster, smoother too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Get some soon.
Success is a difficult goal to achieve in any business or profession, possibly more so in show business than most of the others. It requires talent, hard work, lots of luck, and a few other assorted items. But it's a doubly remarkable achievement when the enormous obstacle that our next guest overcame is added to the mixture. Listen to him first as he entertained Monitor's Betty Grobley and friends in Washington, then hear his startling revelation about his past.
Now, Mr. President, you know, the weekend is coming on, and I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what I'm going to do to really find some relaxation and enjoy myself. Well, now, my fellow American, I'll tell you what you should do. Take my advice on the weekend, like Saturday and Sunday. Betty Copley, now, you just listen to her show. I think it's just marvelous. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
And that, of course, is the leading impressionist, I suppose, in the world, George Kirby, doing you-know-who and you-know-who. Do you do Senator Dirksen in your act?
Oh, yeah. And the President.
And the President.
Yes.
And who else?
The other...
Politicians, I mean.
Well, those are the only two politicians I do right now. I've been working on Adam Clayton Powell, but he don't stay still long enough for me to get his voice.
Now, you do things other than perform. I understand you've been working with youngsters. Will you tell me in what capacity and how you do this?
Well, I've said it over and over again. It's trying to help the youth of today. You have dropouts from school. I try to help them, try to find out what their problems are. In my neighborhood, a lot of the kids come around, ring my doorbell, and I sit and talk with them.
Where's this, George?
In Chicago, Illinois. And I give lectures every now and then at universities. There's a place in Ohio. Not too long ago, I gave a lecture there on narcotics because it seemed to be a big problem there. And there were two fellas sitting in the audience, and I could tell they weren't professors. Not only from the appearance, but from the way they start asking questions, you know. At the end of the lecture, I always say, you know, any questions? And they ask questions just like I figured they were. At the end of the lecture, they came over and presented their cards and everything. They were narcotic agents. And they said that was one of the finest lectures they had ever heard because I had a little humor in the beginning, you know, to get them everybody relaxed, you know, so it's not going to be like a big stiff thing. And then I went into the detail, and then I also showed some of my background because I was involved in it at one time. And I let them know that they're not a fink if they turn in anybody that approaches them with any sort of drug, pills of any kind, you know. And the rewarding thing behind the lecture was about a week later, I get a letter from the professor, the lady professor there at the school. And she said two of her pupils were approached later on that week. And she said they not only turned him in, but the police had to keep them from sort of giving them a little whipping.
Oh.
And I said, well, some good came out of it, you know.
George, you say you were involved with narcotics.
Yes.
How?
I was a user at one time.
Was it difficult for you to kick the habit?
It was. It was difficult because I did it cold turkey.
Did you do it on your own?
No, I turned myself in.
What was the treatment? Was this at an institution?
Yes, I was supposed to receive drugs until I went to the hospital in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm.
But I was in Miami, where I turned myself in, and they're very segregated down there, to the fact that they put me in a tomb upstairs on the 23rd floor and gave me no medical attention at all. I never even saw the doctor, and I almost died up there. But I came out of it. And because the good Lord brought me through this thing, I'm trying to save others because maybe some others will not be saved as I was.
Do you know what your moment of truth was? When did you decide you wanted to kick it?
Well, you don't want to realize that you're on a downgrade.
Mm.
You don't want to realize that people are turning their backs to you and doors are shutting in your face now. You don't want to realize this, but it's actually happening. And all of a sudden, you look up and here's a scum of the earth. Something has crawled out from under a rock, and he's talking to you and looking down at you as if you are lower than he. And you know you've reached rock bottom, and you say, well, you just can't go no further. You either got to straighten up or just go ahead and commit suicide. And that's what it leads to.
So that was the facing up for you.
That's right. That was the moment of truth. I had to straighten myself out and come back up the ladder.
And you certainly have. We've been talking to George Kirby, who's on top of the ladder now. I think the greatest impressionist in the whole wide world. And this is one of the listeners and applauders, Betty Grobley, in Washington for Monitor.
Yes, indeed. And here in Radio Central, this is Gene Rayburn listening and applauding the courageous victory George Kirby won. It certainly should encourage others who have similar problems not to throw in the sponge.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark today. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
And coming up to 18 minutes after the hour, you and I, too, of course, are on the Monitor Beacon.
Everyone.
That being the case, let's have a little something for everyone everywhere in the U.S. of A. A little weather forecast. For most of New England, the Northwest, and the Gulf states, generally sunny weather is expected. In the Rockies and north central states, scattered snow is likely. Showers with snow in the mountains of the southwest, and occasional rain from Arkansas and the lower Missouri Valley to the Ohio Valley. Elsewhere, cloudy skies will prevail.
Remember the night last winter when you parked your car outside, all gassed and ready to go? But next morning, you found its windshield and its wipers buried deep behind ice and snow. Remember? It took you a miserable hour or more to clear your windshield. Your defrosters wouldn't do it. Your windshield washer only made it worse. So if you have your good ANCO dealer add a pint can of the new ANCO antifreeze to the water in your windshield washer, you merely turn on your washer and watch the ice disappear in mere seconds. Stop at the first service station where you see the new big bright yellow ANCO windshield wiper service cabinet. Ask the man to add a can of ANCO washer antifreeze, as directed on the can, and to tuck a few extra cans in your car to make sure you're safe if the storm strikes again. Or if blinding salt splash gets on your windshield, ANCO windshield washer antifreeze will give you ice-free and salt-free clear vision down to 10 degrees below zero. Get it today.
We understand there's a Chinese restaurant in Jacksonville, Florida, where the fortune cookies read, and we're quoting, "You will meet a cute brunette. You will give her money. She is our cashier." Well, we've got a monitor fortune cookie which reads, "You will meet a cute blonde. You will give her your attention. She is our next singer. Petula Clark, and this is her latest." Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Vigoro, makers of the goof-proof lawn foods. Here's Joe.
Baseball players aren't the only athletes who are in spring training now. I'll be back to talk about some others after this from Vigoro.
When the green in your grass is gone, and you gotta make it shape up, make it wake up with the bold green vigor of Vigoro. The bold green vigor of Vigoro.
You bet. And the reason is simple. The manufacturers of Vigoro know what they're doing. They've been at it longer and hold more patents for plant-feeding breakthroughs than any other outfit in the country, bar none. And when they make a Vigoro product for any lawn or garden use, it's tailor-made for the area it's sold in. That's the secret of the bold green vigor of Vigoro.
It's a lot greener than green. A happy kind of bold green. A big and bold green. The bold green vigor of Vigoro.
Vigoro, the goof-proof, tailor-made lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
I guess that one thing that's a big part of the picture in every sport is confusion. I can't think of a single sport that doesn't have more than its share. Take soccer, for example. They haven't played their first scheduled game in this country yet, but they not only have some confusion, They may very well be leading the league in it. I've got to say one thing for soccer. It's putting a big emphasis on the speed at which the game is played. Now, I've played soccer, and I like it. There's no denying that it's a fast game. But the speed on the field is nothing compared to the way the promoters are conducting the business of introducing it to the American public. First, let's look at the matter of the leagues themselves. Over the years in American sports, there's been a formula for starting a new league. After one league gets started, gets a following, and starts to make money, then the other league comes along to challenge it. That's the way it was done in baseball and in football. It looks like the same thing is happening in basketball right now. But not soccer. Last June in San Francisco, three different groups of American sportsmen went to San Francisco to ask for sanction from the United States Soccer Football Association. The one that got the sanction would be in great shape, and the others were expected to go away quietly. The North American Soccer League got the sanction, but instead of going away, a group called the National Professional Soccer League promptly announced they were going into business anyway. It probably sounds like these groups were both made up of amateurs in the business of professional sports. Forget it. The money behind these teams is the same money that's behind such sports organizations as the Baltimore Orioles, the Boston Bruins, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Madison Square Garden Corporation, among others. They're going to play their games in places like the Astrodome, Yankee Stadium, the Cotton Bowl, and the Los Angeles Coliseum. It certainly sounds like they're both big league operations. You'd probably figure that about the only major league sports problem they don't have to worry about is expansion. You'd be wrong. The National League has already announced plans for two new teams in 1968. Some of the problems they face are unique, even in sports, like players. About 90% of the players in both leagues will be imported from overseas. There aren't many top-flight soccer players in this country. There evidently aren't many top-flight soccer executives either. When Dick Walsh, who was formerly an assistant to Walter O'Malley, was elected commissioner of the North American League, he said, "I don't know the difference between a soccer ball and a billiard ball." But progress was made. 3 weeks later, he walked into a New York hotel lobby with a soccer ball under his arm and said, "This is a soccer ball." Soccer crowds in this country will never equal the ones overseas for the very simple reason that there's no place big enough. In 1950 in Rio de Janeiro, one match drew 210,000. Professional soccer is the leading sport in 136 countries. They couldn't have all started with this much confusion. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
And whatever your favorite sports, you'll enjoy it that much more when you hear Joe Garagiola talk about it weekends on Monitor, weekdays on the same NBC stations. Now, a message meant for you.
Get with living the exciting way. Drink sparkling champagne like nothing else you ever tasted. Nothing else except champagne. So put more sparkle in your life today with sparkling champagne.
Champagne looks, tastes, and sparkles like champagne. Buy it wherever beer is sold. Costs just pennies more. C-H-A-M-P-A-L-E, Sparkling Champagne Malt Liquor, Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey. King Richard's Flugel Nights with Cabaret and your ringside table for a close-up of life in the weekend world is provided by Monitor Coast to Coast on NBC. In Northern California and Southern Oregon, you're with us on KMED, Medford, Oregon. Gene Rayburn, brief intermission, then on with the show.
This is Ted Webb. I'll be with you this morning to cover the exciting world of auto racing right here on NBC Radio.
For the past 90 years, the Legal Aid Society has stood for equal justice in New York City. Your neighbors in need, more than 170,000 of them last year, look to the Legal Aid Society for help. Send a check to the Legal Aid Society, 11 Park Place, 10007. At 10:30, it's 37 degrees and cloudy in Big Town. the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
On the monitor, musical merry-go-round, we come up with a brass ring. That means we're going to hear Born Free, free. Actually, we'd hear it free no matter who played it, even the New York Philharmonic. Next on Monitor, Buddy Greco.
Life is just a moment of eternity. A grain that tumbles from the sands of time. We are not the ones who rule our destiny. Who are we to hold the hands of time?
Thank you.
What ho, Gene Rayburn on NBC Radio. And what could be more fitting than to hear a brand new song from Julie Andrews titled Thoroughly Modern Millie on this thoroughly modern show, Monitor 67.
There are those, I suppose, think we're mad. Heaven knows the world has gone to wrack and to ruin. What we think is chic, unique, and quite adorable. They think he's odd and sudden and adorable. But the fact is, everything today is thoroughly modern. Check your personality, everything today makes yesterday glow. Better face reality, if not insanity, says Vanity Fair. In fact, it's stylish to raise your skirts and bob your hair. In a rumble seat, the world is so cozy. If the boy is kissable and that tango dance they wouldn't allow. Now it's like a missable. Goodbye, good booty girl, I'm changing and how. So beat the drum, cause here comes thoroughly modern Millie now.
Close-ups of people and events here and abroad, brought to you by the entire family of Wins products that keep your car going strong. This past week, President Johnson and Senator Robert Kennedy presented conflicting views on the Vietnam issue. A report from Ray Shear, NBC News White House correspondent, in 1 minute.
Presenting the Win Oil Company Chorale, directed by John Philip Azusa. With narration by Mr. Keenan Wynn. No relation.
This is Keenan Wynn. Why is it just because I also spell my name W-Y-N-N, everyone insists I'm related to the Wynn Oil Company people? Many strangers share the same name. Some people even have the same name as a place, like our choral director, John Philip Azusa. Even though his name is the same as Wynn's home city, he is no more related to it than I am to the people who make Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's engine tune-up, Wynn's new charge, and many other products. All designed to keep your car going strong. Maestro.
Yes?
You're not related to the city where the Wynn Oil Company is located, are you?
Of course I am. Azusa, Azusa, California. But keep your car going strong, capital of the world, Wynn's.
Now here is Ray Shear, NBC News White House correspondent.
If there was any doubt the administration takes Robert Kennedy seriously, look what happened when it became known that the senator was about to make his long-touted Stop the Bombing to Get Talks speech. The morning of the speech, the president appeared without warning at a White House news conference to deliver his big news that Premier Kosygin had agreed to Moscow talks on ways to halt the arms race. Reporters who suspected the White House had held this big news for just that day to divert attention from the Kennedy speech thought they found added evidence for their suspicion when the White House was unable to supply the date when Mr. Kosygin replied to the president. Then, just as the senator took the Senate floor, Senator Henry Jackson turned up with a letter from the president reaffirming his refusal to halt the bombing unless the communists took equivalent action to end the war. A few hours after the speech, Secretary Rusk issued a statement to reporters saying that proposals substantially similar to those put forth by Mr. Kennedy had been explored without result before and during and since the recent Tet Truce. In Saigon, General Westmoreland did something he rarely does, held a news conference.
His message was the bombing is necessary and must be continued. Some people here in Washington take the view that the administration overreacted to the Kennedy speech and that taking such pains to reply to his views only served to give the senator a bigger platform. Another view is that one of the striking things about this latest exchange between the senator and the administration is that the differences between their peace proposals are not so great as the similarities. Both want peace talks. Both talk about an international force to check on the agreements. Both cite conditions. The communists must not be allowed to build up their forces during peace talks. Where they differ is this. The president wants something, some tangible sign of good faith from the other side before beginning talks. The administration has been burned before. There is also the view that for the first time the battle is going our way, and to stop now would be taken by the other side as a sign of weakness. And so, the battle in Vietnam continues just as the war of words between the senator and the president escalates another notch. Ray Scherer, NBC White House correspondent.
Ring Around the World, another in Monitor's weekend series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad. Now here is Jonathan Winters for Luden's Cough Drops.
Hello, Mr. Suggins. I'm making a survey for the Luden's Company. Have you heard our message asking that you never chew a Luden's cough drop?
Yes, I have. The fellow on the radio says never chew a Luden's cough drop. Let it dissolve slowly so you can get longer-lasting relief from minor throat irritations and coughs due to colds.
Mr. Suggins, that's wonderful. But, Mr. Suggins, you chewed your Luden's cough drop. I don't understand.
I'll put it this way, said a fella. I don't tell you, you can't raise pegs. There's a message there.
Mm-hmm.
They say that misery loves company, but you don't have to be miserable at all to enjoy the company of Jimmy Dean as he sings Sweet Misery on Monitor.
Oh, when I'm lonely, I think of someone. Someone I call Sweet Misery. In her arms I was in heaven. But heaven wasn't meant for me. Ooh, I still love her. Ooh, but I lost her. I mean, she walked out, the hurt walked in. Now our love's gone, just like an old song that no one ever wants to hear again. I count heartaches that a big fool makes, and I think about my sweet misery. I do my sorrow each new tomorrow. A bigger fool than me. All in her arms, I was in heaven. But heaven wasn't meant for me. Oh, when I'm lonely, I think about someone. Someone I call sweet misery.
Come back, Shane. Hey, more music from Roger Williams, Vera Lynn, Herb Alpert, plus a guest who spends a good deal of time in English pubs, but not for the reason you might think. All this in the minutes ahead here in the Monitor Beacon.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of conversation.
The Dodge boys are setting out to fight for the kind of deals you'll know are right.
Ride with the good guys.
These rebels are really pounding leather to get you and a great new Dodge together. The Dodge boys.
The good guys, they've rounded up a great new breed of cars you've got to see. These babies put you in the lead.
Ride with the good guys.
The Dodge boys.
And that goes for your next truck, too. Yes, you'll get the truck you need from the Dodge boys. Because Dodge builds a complete line of trucks, from the new longer compacts to big diesels, and builds them to last. Come on into Abbotsfield Dodge, Brooklyn. See the Dodge truck that'll work for you. and see how we protect you for thousands of miles after others have left you cold.
The good guys.
You can tell they're good guys. They all wear white hats.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation. It's NBC.
Gene Rayburn at 13 and a half minutes before the hour as Monitor moves along through March, and although the days are getting a bit longer, sunrise, sunset still takes the same length of time it always did. 2 minutes, 14 seconds, the Roger Williams way.
Nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Poem. I shot an arrow in the air. It fell to earth I know not where. But when Tom Barrett throws a dart, it's sure to hit the target's heart. And so to learn all about the fascinating art of darts throwing, do you say darts throwing or dart throwing?
Dart throwing.
Dart throwing. We're happy to welcome Mr. Tom Barrett to Monitor. Nice to have you here, Tom.
Pleased to be here.
Now, you're from London, England, right?
Yes.
Now, it's a very popular game over there, isn't it, in your country? But is it the fascination of the game itself, or is it because they play the game in the pubs all the time? And they all stand around and say, hey, what do you say we throw a few darts?
Well, in London, we play every day, nearly every night, as a matter of fact. If you can get out there, doesn't the wife let you go?
Well, now, darts is an old game, isn't it? It goes
way
back.
Very old game, yes. It goes way back to the 15th century.
How did it start?
Well, as far as I can make from stories that I've read and that, we presume the archers used to break their arrows or have short arrows or use their arrows to throw at old tree trunks outside these taverns.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the old tree trunks when they used to split, they probably used to make them points for getting in certain portions of the tree trunk.
Now, when you throw a dart, you don't hold it as I do. I just,
I hold it with four fingers, two on the top, two underneath it.
And where...
usually get to let the bottom... hold the center of the dart so that the bottom weight balances and falls down like. So I know the bottom weight is there.
In other words, your fingers are much farther back on the dart itself, then I would hold it, for instance,
yes,
just by
yes.
instinctively grabbing
yes.
it. And what does that do? Does that give it a...
Well, it gives it... It lets it know that... I know from throwing it that that bottom weight is going to go first and will go straight. Mm. I always point the dart at the object I'm throwing, and it will go straight at the ball. Whereas if you hold it too close to the bottom, you'll find it'll wobble through the air and won't go sticking the ball precisely straight.
Now, what is your arm action? Is it like we would throw a baseball?
No, you put. I usually get my chest and put my arm straight out.
Your arm straight out?
Straight out. Bend it straight back from the elbow at an angle about 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And then push the dart.
I see.
Then you learn by years of practice that you can push it either up, down, left, or right.
Tom, I understand you had a part in making one of the Beatles films. What did you do for them?
Well, I threw all the introduction darts for them for their colored film Help.
For Help?
For Help.
Oh, at the beginning of the film when they were doing the credits?
That's right. When the introduction comes on, you see the colored darts going into a moving film. It was actually a film being thrown onto a screen where I had to pick out certain spots for the position of these darts to go in so that the names could run away correct
mm-hmm.
from the actual dart. And it took me quite some time to do.
You do this for a living, Tom?
No, I'm a compositor, a printer in London.
A printer in London?
Yes.
Well, when do you have a fine time to play darts?
Only in my spare time.
And you got to be a champion anyway.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you consume many pints as you play?
Well, I have quite a few, but only a few before I start. I always like to keep steady.
Okay, Tom Barrett, dart champion of England, thank you for visiting Monitor.
Thank you very much.
And next, a compatriot of Mr. Barrett's, Vera Lynn, makes a musical bullseye with It Hurts to Say Goodbye.
Take me in your arms and hold me tight. Tell me that your love is mine. Everything will turn out right. It hurts to say goodbye. Let me know the thrill of your embrace. Memories that time cannot erase. While I kiss the teardrops from your face, it hurts to say goodbye. Wherever you are, you will always be near to me. Wherever I go, you'll be here.
It takes a man of high caliber to do Billy Boone's job. He's a human cannonball. Tell me, Billy, how are things down there?
Not so good. I feel half shot.
Here, have some V8. It'll charge you up.
Looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 gives you the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow! It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Sure gives you lift.
This piece of mod music reminds me of something that happened last night at the dinner party. My partner on the right was Eugenia Shepherd, the well-known authority on women's fashion. We were talking about mod clothes, and she said they finally have a name for this new mod fashion, which is a topless miniskirt, and the name they've decided on is a belt. Albert's latest, Wade in the Water. And if someone will hand me a towel, I'll dry up for a bit, following which, at the top of the next hour, we'll have the latest NBC Monitor News. Gene Rayburn here.
This is Joe Garagiola. I'll be with you every weekday with my sports show on NBC Radio.
It's 10:59, Eastern Tetley Tea Time. Mail just come? Read it over a cup of Tetley, with that tiny little tea leaf flavor that's always better because it's never bitter. Tetley. If a blind man has a good hearing and is mechanically inclined, he might take a 2-year course and become a piano technician. That is one of the many courses offered at the Lighthouse, where blind men and women are taught a trade where they can become self-sufficient. Help the Lighthouse so this and other services can continue at no cost to the blind student. The Lighthouse, the New York Association for the Blind, 111 East 59th Street, New York City, 10022.
Down city streets, country lanes, and busy highways, Big Town USA is on the move with people. And WNBC, the voice of Big Town, brings you the sound of Big Town people on the move. Although it takes all night, Long John loves to entertain. Midnight to 5 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.